It is nice to be with you again tonight in the ministry of the Word of God. In these various Lord's days that I've been with you this year, we've been examining the person of God and what it is to know God. And we've been working originally and continuously out of Jeremiah 9, where we read, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his strength, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. But he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows me, who I am." And to know God is the most important thing there is. And God in his sweet providence has given us a revelation of himself in his word. And we have examined the truth concerning himself, that God is. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, the existence of God. That's where we began. And then we examined the Trinity, the fact that God has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As a shorter catechism puts it, there are three persons within the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. Then we examined also the omnipotence of God. God is all-powerful. This morning it was our joy to examine the omnipresence of God. God is everywhere present because God is spirit, and it regulates the worship of the child of God, for they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Tonight we want to examine the question, how well does God know me? How well does God know me? The omniscience of God. And we're turning tonight to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and we begin our reading at verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my abode in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance being yet unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they that speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This psalm is most interesting. It is a psalm of the omniscience of God. In Psalm 1, the first verse, verse 1 of this psalm, he says, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. We find as we examine this psalm, he knows me better than anybody else. And when he finishes this psalm, he says, Lord, search me some more. That is a man who knows God. Does God searching you through and through convict you, or does it comfort you? It all depends whether you're saved or lost. If you're saved, you rejoice. You can say with a psalmist, search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me some more. Keep searching me. And if you're not, you try to run away and hide. But there's no hiding from God. You can hide from the preacher. You can hide from parents. You can hide from a lot of people and things. But we cannot hide from God. The omniscience of God. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we examine thy precious word, we thank you tonight that thou art God. Thou art upon the throne of the universe. We sang in worship tonight, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. And when he was here in his earthly sojourn, he knew what men were thinking. He knew what men were going to do. And we thank you, our Father, he also knew what he was going to do, and that for us. So we ask you that you would give us tonight that faith to lay hold of truth, that the truth may lay hold of us to the end that we shall glorify thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. How well does God know me? How well does God know any of us? You'll notice in verses 1 and 2, he knows our ways. Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows what I am thinking. How well does he know you? That's the question. Let me tell you, he understands your thoughts from afar. It doesn't matter where you happen to be. He knows what you're thinking at all times. And he knows what you're going to think before you ever think it. So well does God know his creatures on earth. Furthermore, in verse 3, I learn that the knowledge of God is not limited by space. You see, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. This is the kind of knowledge that one develops of another over a long marriage. I know my wife far better today than I did the day that I married her. And you see, over a long marriage, you really learn to know the person to whom you're married. And how well does God know us? He understands our thoughts afar off. He compasses our path. He's acquainted with all our ways. This is how well God knows you. Furthermore, when you come to verse 4, I find that God understands whatever it is that we say. In verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows every thought, but he also knows what you say. God not only knows what you say, but he knows what you're going to say before you say it, and he knows your thoughts before they are ever translated into words. You see, God's knowledge is not limited by time nor space. He knows it all, and he knows it perfectly, and he knows it exhaustively. There isn't anything that God doesn't know. How different the knowledge of God is in comparison to our knowledge of anything. He knows all things. Now, in my little lifetime, I have met many intelligent people. But you know, even the most intelligent people I have ever met don't know everything about everything. There's so much that a lot of intelligent people do not know. But not my God. You see, there are things that intelligent people could never know about me unless I told them. My brother, who is ungodly, he has a saying. He says, you go into a psychiatrist's office who is supposed to be able to explore your brain. You go in there and sit down and don't say a word to him, and he can't tell you anything about yourself. That teaches me, he says, that I know more than he does. My brother doesn't know the Lord, but this is what he says. And you see, it's true. No one can know anything about you unless they have lived with you or you tell them. But God knows all about us. He knows what we think. He knows how we think. He knows how we act. And he knows the motive that regulated the act. You know, we try to hide our motives. Especially if we have it in for somebody and we're going to say something about them. We'd like to get credit for what we say, but we can have a wrong motive in why we say it. And the purpose for which we say it is not for the edification of somebody. It's to degrade somebody else. Our problem is our thoughts about God are too human. In the 50th Psalm, God says to man, he says, you thought that I was such an one as yourself. This is a problem with idolatry. Men make an image of God. It can be a mental image. It can be a physical image. And this image that they have of God, about God, is that which they speak. And when people talk about God in a limited sense, they are simply telling that which is in their heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If God is not the sovereign God of the universe, then he is not God. We are projecting with our lips what our hearts really think about God. Is God all that he claims to be? The omniscience of God will baffle you. As the psalmist said, when I awake, I'm still with you. In other words, he thought about God and the greatness of God, and his mind reeled off into sleep. And when he awoke, God was still there. He hadn't exhausted his knowledge of God. God's knowledge is unlimited, and God's knowledge is exhaustive. God says to us, you thought that I was like yourself, but God is not like us. Aren't you glad? I am. But there's a day coming when I'm going to be like him. As J.N. Darby wrote in that great hymn that I looked at tonight while we were breaking bread together, here, oh, no, that's the wrong hymn. And is it so, I shall be like thy son? Is this the grace which he for me has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory likeness, like thee to thy likeness brought. And then he adds, not I alone, thy glory all complete, with thy redeemed, with thee to there to see, thy glory, Lord, while endless ages roll, myself, the prize, the travail of thy soul. Oh, to think that God, who knows every little detail about me, could love me. I tell you, that is a marvel of the love of God. If that doesn't bring forth the worship of our hearts, I don't know what will. To think that God knows me as no one else does. And to think that he loves us and he'll never change his mind about us. That's what we mean by the omniscience of God. Things past, things present, things future, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth are all known to him. And the scripture says, his eye is on the sparrow. He sees a sparrow fall, and he says, you're worth more than many sparrows. And he also said, the hairs of your head are numbered. Just think of that. It doesn't say they're counted. You remember when they drew the fish to land in John 21, they counted them. 153. Now, I might pull a hair out, you see, and it might be number 56. It might be number 2. You see, you never know, but he knows the hairs of your head are numbered. So great is the omniscience of God. His eye is on the sparrow. The hairs of your head are numbered. You see, infinite knowledge is something that man cannot grasp. Now, every Christian believes this truth, that God knows everything, but nobody understands it. I don't. I've never met someone else who does. It is profound truth that the psalmist has latched to here in the 139th psalm. But there's so many practical things that the truth of the omniscience of God brings to us. And so we're going to turn to the applications of this truth. The fact that God knows me through and through, he knows all about me. I need to apply this truth to my own heart. Application number one. Because God has infinite knowledge, we can have comfort that God understands. God understands. This present psalm is written to minister comfort to every believer at all times. Have you ever been to the place in your life where you thought, no one understands me? You see, God understands. You may think that no one could possibly understand what you are thinking or feeling, and you may feel all alone, but God understands. This psalm tells me that there is one who understands, there is one who cares, there is one who knows. A friend of mine who lost his father just at the time when he really needed him. He was walking down the street one day, and a young man came up to him, and he shook hands with him. He said, you know, I know what you're going through. And he looked him in the eye, and he knew that he knew what he was going through, because he had lost his father too. God understands. And we can have comfort. No one knows the trouble I see. No one knows but Jesus. The 103rd Psalm in the 14th verse says, He knows our frame, and He remembers that we are dust. I don't know if anyone here ever knew our brother George Landis from Pennsylvania. He used to be a great preacher. He spoke, and when he spoke, you'd remember him speaking, for his voice came like out of a barrel. You thought it came all the way through his body, from his feet on up. My, he had a great voice. He was one of the preachers at the funeral of President Harding. And I was driving him from Greenwood Hills to Baltimore for a wedding. And he was sitting in the back seat, and my wife was in the front with me, and I was so interested in what he had to say, I was driving like this. And I had him really nervous. I'll never forget that. He said, I wish you'd talk to me and just keep turned around. You watch the road. But anyway, I'll never forget what he said that day. He said, we have a tendency to remember what God forgets and to forget what God remembers. God has forgotten our sins. He will remember them against us no more forever. He said, but we like to talk about them in a testimony meeting. I'll never forget that. But he said in the 103rd Psalm we read, He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. But we think we're cast iron. How true that is. We think that those things that happen to other people can never happen to us. Especially when we're young. We think, I'm never going to get old and get stiff and other things that those older people have and seem to be bothered with. Let me tell you, you're going to get old before you're ready for it. For the years pass by as a weaver's shuttle, so says the Word of God. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. My, the fact that God knows all things comforts us. He knows and He understands. Application number two. You can have confidence because God knows all things that justice will prevail. God will see to it that the righteous are rewarded and the wicked punished. This will take place, of course, in the kingdom of God. In the future. But God will see to it. And for this to take place, it calls for a righteous judge. And that judge who is righteous must know all things. And I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 11 for a verse. Isaiah 11, one of the great passages, messianic passages concerning our Lord Jesus Christ as King of the seed of David. The stock of Jesse, it says, verse 1, And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. In other words, he's not going to have a witness to tell him anything. He knows exactly what happened. He's not going to judge after the sight of his eyes. He doesn't need a witness. He's not going to reprove after the hearing of his ears. For he knows the thoughts before the words were ever spoken. We can have confidence, friends, that justice will prevail. To those who are outside the ark of safety, to those who are still lost, this should strike terror into the loins of everyone who is outside of Christ. We're dealing with divine omniscience. I cannot hide anything from God, and I'll never get away with anything. neither will anyone else. But for us who are saved, to think of it, to be judged by one who knows us perfectly, gives to us a matter for rejoicing. Granville North, the great Puritan preacher, lived a profligate life before God saved him. And he was going into the meeting one night, and one of his old cronies met him. Phew, he said, I understand you're a preacher now. Yes, he said, God has saved me and I'm a preacher. So he said, I'm going in that meeting tonight, and when you get up to preach, I'm going to get up and tell them everything I know about you. He said, you come along. You come along. Because when I get up to preach, I'm going to talk about somebody that knows me a lot better than you do. You only know a little bit, but he knows it all. And he has loved me, and he's forgiven me. Oh, beloved, the fact that God knows me through and through, I can be in glory for 10,000 years, and there won't be a skeleton coming tumbling out of the closet that will ever embarrass God for saving me or me for being in glory with him. For if salvation is all of God, salvation is all of grace, and God will never be embarrassed because I'm there. Because I'm only there because of what he did, not because of anything I have done. That's what salvation by grace does. It gives you confidence, beloved, that justice will prevail. You see, truth in one day will be known. We can wait for God to make things known. And that's what he says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. That's why God has given us certain instruction. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, we have our Lord's instruction concerning giving alms and concerning prayer. Verse 1, he says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. God knows why we're giving. God knows what we're giving. God knows the motive behind our giving. And he said, if you want a reward, don't do it to be seen of men. Then he goes on to praying. Verse 4, the conclusion of the alms, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when you get to verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray. How do they pray? They like to pray in a place where somebody's going to see them. They like to pray in a place where they get credit from man because of what they do. But our Lord says in verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I started doing something a few weeks ago. I'd like to continue doing it. I don't do it as often as I should. I started writing prayers. If you write out your prayers, friends, it's going to transform your life. It's going to slow you down. It's going to make you aware of in whose presence you are. And since my handwriting is poor, I just go to the computer and I sit and I write. And when I'm finished, I take it out, I print it out and take it to the Lord and go over it again in His presence. It'll slow you down. And it'll make you aware of in whose presence you are and the one to whom you pray. You see, he says in verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Where we were this morning in the Sunday school hour. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers. In other words, our work, our daily duties. How do we work? Do we serve our boss, our company? Do we serve as unto the Lord? Not with eye service. See, God sees everything about us. This morning we learned that God is everywhere, present. But He also knows what we're doing. And He knows the motive behind it. Not with eye service, as men pleasers. God understands, you see, and God will vindicate. Well, my boss doesn't pay me the way he should. Well, not with eye service. God will vindicate in due time. God knows all things. When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, there were those who preached Christ of envy and strife. There are those who preach Christ in a different way. Paul says, I just am happy that Christ is preached, no matter what happens to me. And in chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, for God is my record. How greatly I long after you all. God is my record. How wonderful to commit yourself to one who knows all things. It gives us comfort, and it gives us confidence that God will vindicate. Application number 3. You can have the conviction that God sees. This is convicting indeed to one who is lost, but to one who is saved, it is indeed blessed. You see, the wicked believe that God doesn't know what they're doing. And this was true of Israel. Turn to Hosea chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7 and verse 1, where we read these words, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without, and they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. When we think of the apostasy of Israel, God says, they don't know that I understand all these things. and it's all before me. I know all about it. Remember Ahab? Ahab, who was married to that wicked woman, Jezebel. Micaiah had given the word, if you go up to Ramoth Gilead, you're going to fall in battle. So what did he do? He disguised himself as a chariot warrior with all his helmet and his face covered, everything covered on Ahab. Nobody knew who Ahab was. And he thought because man didn't know where he was and who he was, that God didn't know. But the 33rd verse of that 18th chapter of 1 Chronicles says, and a certain man drew a bow at a venture, and he hit the king of Israel between the joints of the harness, and he died according to the word of the Lord. God knows, God sees. You see, the wicked, according to the 73rd Psalm and the 6th verse and the 11th verse, they are self-deceived. It is too disturbing to think that God knows every little detail of my life. It is disturbing to the wicked. Remember Adam and Eve? After they partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they realized they were naked. And God's first question to them was, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree? Who told you you were naked? Isn't it amazing? We still put blinds on windows. We still put curtains on showers. Where did it all originate? Sin. Departure from God. You see, Adam and Eve were trying to avoid the all-searching eye of God. Well, let me ask you a question tonight. Are you trying to hide from God? It cannot be done. Psalm 139 that we read, verse 11. If I say, I will ascend into heaven. If I say, I will dwell in the uttermost part of the earth, even there shall a hand lead me. You cannot escape God. You see, application number 3 is that you can have the conviction that God sees and God knows. Application number 4, you can have the certainty of God's love. Because God sees and God knows and God understands everything about us, we can have the certainty of God's love. There's a mother who said to her little girl one day, what did you learn today in Sunday school? That's a great mother. A mother who's interested in what the children are learning in Sunday school. What did you learn today in Sunday school? The little girl answered her mother. She said, I learned that God sees everything I do and he knows everything I think. The mother said, how does that make you feel? That God sees everything and he knows everything about you. The little girl said, oh, that makes me very glad. For that way, I know that Jesus died for all my sins. He's not going to be informed of one of mine next week. He knew them all when he died for me. Nothing ever surprises God about you. There's no accusation against you or against me that God did not know and that God did not foresee from all eternity. And the nice part about it, and this is what thrills me, Romans 11 verse 29, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God will never change his mind about me. David understood this, and David prayed in verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways. See if there be any wicked way in me. Oh, my friend, to know that this is a God who has provided eternal salvation through the death of his Son in order that he might have us with himself. I can say with the psalmist tonight, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot attain to it. But I want to tell you something. It's a joy to my heart when I consider the fact that there isn't a thing about me that God doesn't know, and he loves me more dearly than anyone else ever has or ever could. And he'll never change his mind about me. One of my favorite Bible teachers is a woman by the name of Elizabeth Elliot. When she begins her radio broadcast every day, she says, "You are loved with an everlasting love." That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. It's true. God knows us thoroughly. To those who are his, he will never change his mind about us. That is the omniscience of God. Do I understand it? No. I don't understand it. Do I believe it? I sure do. And I love that truth. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the precious name of thy dear Son, we want to thank you tonight for the riches of grace. Truly, thou hast loved us with an everlasting love. You have made known unto us the good pleasure of your will. And we are thine, and we thank you for it. We are thine not because of ourselves, but because of thee. We thank you that salvation is all of grace. It couldn't be otherwise. The more we learn of thee, the more amazed we are at thy love, at thy mercy, and thine exhaustless grace. Receive our thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go with us to our respective homes. Bless this assembly and cause thy face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. We just commend one another to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up and give them an inheritance among all that are sanctified through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.